So, good morning. Dear Gwitch. Are you finished? If you have your Bibles, as the pins come around, you might want to hang on to them. We're going to go through a few different things. But if you have a Bible near you, turn to Romans chapter 14, and you can just slot your notes into it or hold it with your finger. Romans 14, and then Galatians 5. Romans 14 is page 1141. And then Galatians 5 is just a few pages after that. So as you're turning there, I want you to think back. We're talking about joy, and we're talking about joy as part of a community. And what I want to do is try to look at joy just individually. What is that? What do we think that is? What does that look like, feel like, smell like, sound like? And then as a community, how do we work that out with each other? How do we work that out together? So I want you to think back. What experience can you go back to where you say, yes, that was real joy? Now, for some of you, you're living in joy right now, and it's oozing from your pores. And others of you, you're going back a few years. Now, as I was preparing for this, the more people that I asked, everybody had a sense of, yes, I have an idea of what joy is. And then it was a long time ago, or I need more, or how can I have more? Now, I found that an interesting thing because I asked guys at work, and I'd ask other friends. But the consensus was a long time ago, and how do I get more? And we're living in this, for the most part, we're living in this place in between. I think I know, I think I remember, but I'd like to have it again. would that sum up where we are here this morning? Anybody want to say, no, I'm oozing of joy, even as we speak? Okay, well, hopefully we'll be oozing more and more. Thank you, Dorothy, good. Hopefully we'll be oozing joy. We all know what joy is. We have an idea of what it is, and we can tell when someone is full of genuine joy, can't we? There's just something about them. And you know that it's not manufactured, it's not fake, they're not trying to put something on, are they? You just see it. Sometimes now we kind of go, would they ever just cop on? And sometimes we do that too, don't we? But we also know when somebody is being fake, when they're trying to put on joy. We can tell that too, can't we? I knew a guy once, and I knew him through school, and he was just kind of normal, straight-laced kind of guy, just very even-tempered. But then whenever he would get into kind of the church meetings, he would become this different person. How are you? Let me greet you with a holy kiss. And you're like, ugh. And it was just all just a bit too much, a bit too put on. Do you know what I mean? I'm not pointing any fingers, but I'm just saying we can tell. We can tell. We know when it's real, but we know when it's not real. And sometimes the people who are trying to put it on a little bit thick, a little bit too much, we're not judging. We're not pointing fingers. They mean well, don't they? Really, they do. Because all throughout Scripture, there's commands, be joyful always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, what do I say? Rejoice. It's all through there. So they're probably just well-intentioned, trying to maintain this thing that, well, the Bible says I should do it, so maybe I should just, and I'm with Christians. So, or maybe we're just trying to make sense of our circumstances. In James, when he says, consider it pure joy when you face what? Trials, hardships. Consider it pure joy. How do we consider trials and hardships pure joy? It just doesn't necessarily fit into my paradigm of what joy is. Now, okay, I can say, okay, all right, deal with it, adjust, reinterpret maybe, but pure joy? But what I want to say is joy is not, it's not imaginary. It's not something that we just try to We see it out there, it's distant, we try to grab hold of it and try to put it on in some kind of uncomfortable fitting, oversized sports coat. It's something that's very real. But how do we identify it? How do we own it? How do we live in it? How do we experience it? How do we express it? You see, joy is an emotion, but it's more than just an emotion, isn't it? Think back, going back to that time when you had that moment of joy. It was a very deep emotion. I'd say it would be hard to not kind of have a half of a smile, because joy is, there's this happiness, there's a deep-rooted sense of pleasure and ecstatic happiness. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, this, you know, how we all just, we're just temperamentally different, or we have different personalities. So there are some personalities who are just bubbly anyway. They're a bit happy anyway. And so when they get joy, they just kind of go a bit happier. And those of us who aren't necessarily just that kind of bubbly, happy type, when we get joy, you know, we might just, a faint little smile, just like crack the surface. And that's okay, isn't it? Because we're all different temperaments and personalities, and, you know, there's no standard of what joy should look like, right? But once we recognize that joy is more than just an emotion, although joy can be an emotion, right? It's hard to sustain it 24/7. But sometimes when you're living in joy and you're experiencing true joy, it goes on and on and on and on. It'll last for a few days as the emotion. But it's more than just an emotion. Joy is a condition. Joy is a state of being. Joy is it's an aspect of God's nature, of God's character. And we're going to unpack this a bit more. But it's a condition of who we are on the inside. See, joy is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Joy is a manifestation of the very character of God. I ask you to turn to Romans 14. So Romans 14, verse 17. It says, the kingdom of God is, it says it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but what is it? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what is the kingdom of God?
Righteousness.
In the Holy Spirit. So joy is a very attribute of the reality, the very real presence of the kingdom of God. So when you experience the kingdom of God, should we not also experience joy? When we experience the kingdom of God, do we experience peace? Yes. Do we experience righteousness? So why is it? Because I think when we think about the kingdom of God, we think about who God is, we think of the kingdom of God, we think about our relationship with him. Righteousness and peace tend to be things that we can more easily hang our hat on. Would that be a fair assessment? That we can more easily say, kingdom of God, oh, living righteously, living justly, we have a paradigm for righteousness, holiness, purity. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we have a paradigm for peace, because Jesus is our peace. Jesus has brought peace. Jesus has made peace between us and God. We can now live in and experience true peace. And we have a paradigm for that. But somehow, as a church, not just core, but just in our Western culture, how have we neglected this thing of joy? I don't know. I don't have an answer. But when we express it as a church, you know, you get this term, oh, that church down there, they're the happy clappies. You know, but the people who are happy clappies are probably just, they found a way to express their joy. But we tend to, you know. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. in the Holy Spirit. So turn to Galatians 5, just a few pages over, page 1172. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Some of your translations may say righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. That preposition can be translated lots of different ways, in, through, among, with. So they can be different, but in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Now we're looking at a verse that most of you will know quite well. Galatians 5, verse 22. And what does that tell us? The fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da. What ranks number two on the list?
Joy.
Number two. It went from number three in Romans 14 up to number two. It's climbing the charts, folks. Joy. Not only is the kingdom of God made up of righteousness, peace, and joy, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So who brings the kingdom of God to earth? Holy Spirit. Yeah, sorry, I'm not trying to trick you. The righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit. And the fruits, what are the fruits? The fruits are what? Yeah. But the fruits are things that we see, the things that grow as a result of the character of the being that the life is flowing through, right? Now it's kind of a convoluted description, but a tree is alive, it grows fruit because that's the nature of its character, right? An apple tree won't grow pears. Orange trees won't grow peaches. When the Holy Spirit is in us, what comes out of us is what? Things of the Holy Spirit. So the fruits of the Spirit will flow through us as we are living in Him and as He is living through us. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. So this thing of joy, what is it? I had it a long time ago, but I'm not living in it now. It poses a bit of a challenge for us, doesn't it? Now, I want us to ooze with joy by the time we're leaving, so I'm not going to sit here and say, why don't you have more joy? Wouldn't work, would it? It might. So, where does joy come from? From the Holy Spirit, from the very nature, from the very character, from the very presence, the very essence of God. God brings joy. God, through His relationship with the Son and through the Trinity, through the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they live in an atmosphere of joy. They commune together, God Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in joy and in peace and in righteousness and in love. And all of that is flowing, is working. And they give that to us. I want you to hold that there for a second, because we're going to back up just a little bit. Because all through the Scripture, all through the Bible, the Old Testament, all the prophets, the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Psalms, so many of the Psalms and the writers of the Psalms, and even in the minor prophets, Obadiah, Amos, Nahum, they all spoke of the day of salvation, the coming age of the King, when all brokenness would be made right, when all disharmony would be brought into harmony, when sin would be no more and forgiveness would reign, when there would be no more anger and animosity and bitterness, but peace would come, when disease would no longer exist because the healing of the kingdom has come. All through the Old Testament, this was the message. This was the message of the Old Testament. The day of salvation is coming, and when that day comes, the people will have joy. Joy will be a part of the coming kingdom. People will sing for joy. All through the Psalms, they will sing for joy. And in Isaiah, it says that joy will be their song, and when they go and dig at the wells of salvation, they will do so with great joy. The message of the Old Testament was that the King is coming. And when the King comes, he will bring his kingdom. And when the kingdom comes, there will be great joy. What happened when Jesus came?
The angels sang
for joy. The angels spoke to the shepherds and said, "Peace on earth and joy to man. Joy to the world. The King has come." When Jesus came, he brought the day of salvation. When Jesus came, the Old Testament message was fulfilled there. What did Jesus say to his disciples? The law and the prophets were until John. Speaking of John the Baptist, right? All the Old Testament, John the Baptist was the last of the prophets because Jesus came. The law and the prophets were until John. But now, Jesus says, I have fulfilled the law. Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the embodiment of the day of salvation. Jesus, his message was what? The kingdom of heaven is where? It's at hand. It's at hand. It's at arm's reach. The kingdom of heaven is here at arm's reach. Reach out. Grab hold of it. Take it. Touch it. Taste it. Feel it. The kingdom of heaven is here now. The day of salvation is here now. When the day of salvation comes, what will happen? People will sing for joy. They will dig at the wells of salvation with joy in their hearts. Why? Because salvation is here. Because disease is broken. Because the curse of sin has been broken. It's here now. And this is what joy comes from. Jesus' message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did he do? That was his message. What did he do with his message? He went around. And if you've heard me speak, you've heard me say it. He went around preaching and teaching and healing. Preaching the good news of the kingdom, teaching about God's new way of dealing with people and healing, demonstrating the present reality of the kingdom here and now. That the kingdom, the day of salvation, reigns over sickness and disease. It reigns over the blind, over the lame, over the deaf, over the weak. God's restorative salvation covers us physically as well as spiritually. And that was Jesus' message. Who was Jesus here representing? His Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the book of Hebrews says that Jesus was the perfect representation of God. God the Father, is full of joy. He is full of joy. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus, his message was the kingdom of heaven is here. His activity was to present it, to demonstrate it, to live it, to introduce people to it. And he sent out his followers to do the very same thing, didn't he? Yeah. He sent out the 12. They went out. And what did they do? They preached his message and they demonstrated it through healing the sick, casting out the demons, cleansing those who are leprous. That's what they did. They came back. Then he sent out 70 more. And he says, now you guys go do it. And they came back. In Luke 10, you can read about it, because they came back, and Rob said it this morning, they came back full of what? Joy. They came back full of joy. And it's my contention they came back full of joy because they were amazed. They saw the kingdom of God come and interrupt and displace the kingdom of darkness that exists on the earth. They were witnesses. Not just witnesses as in distant, I watched it, but they were witnesses as in it worked through them. They were full of joy because the kingdom of heaven was made real at their hands and at their words. They were full of joy because the kingdom of heaven was made real through their hands and through their words. Then when they told Jesus all about it, can you imagine the campfire? Can you imagine? They're all sitting around, the 70 of them come back, they've got a thing going and those hot dogs cooking on the grill, and they're telling Jesus all about what happened. They're telling about the lame walking, about the blind seeing, and about the demons being cast out, and about people coming into the kingdom. And what does the Bible say that Jesus did? Now, it depends on what translation you have. The NIV, they kind of play it down a little bit. But they said, and Jesus, full of joy, praised God. But if you look at some of the more literal translations, it says, and Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And if you go back and look at the Greek, the words that are there are not just full of joy, rejoicing, but there's this meaning of a physical expression to this joy. This rejoicing is this thing that we in the Western church are a little bit uncomfortable with, because it's exuberant, exultant praise. There's this physical activity to it. So, can you imagine our brown-haired, blue-eyed Jesus jumping up and down, rejoicing at what the disciples are coming back and telling him? That's the impression. He was exultant. He was exuberant in his rejoicing. Because why? Because the kingdom of heaven had come, and his disciples gave it away with their hands, with their words, gave it away. And they were full of joy at what they had done. At what they had done. Because the salvation of God brings joy to the captives. All who are captive in any kind of bondage. Whether it's sin, whether it's patterns of wrong thinking, whether it's patterns of behavior that we just can't seem to break, whether it's depression, whether it's disease, whatever, Jesus came and the day of salvation has come. And the joy of the kingdom of heaven comes when those things are broken. We're going to pick that up again in a minute. But what do we do with this? Because in some ways this is a very personal thing. In some ways we know the areas that need to be broken. We know the places in our own life, in our thinking, in our habits that need to be changed. We know those things. But how do we live joy in a community? Well, first, I think we have to recognize community isn't just sitting here on a Sunday morning, and we know that. Community is sharing our life together, sharing our lives together. And we can be challenged on how we do that, and ways that we do that, and ways that we can do that better. But one thing I would say, we must learn to be real with each other. We must be real. Don't try to put on the joy that's not there. Don't try to manufacture it. It just doesn't work. Because who you are, who I am, affects the people around me, doesn't it? Who I am affects who you are. When we live in relationship, the lines aren't always clean. They're not always black and white. There's lots of shades of gray and variations and interconnectedness. So who I am affects who you are. Who you are affects who I am. Like it or not, that's the way it is. So it's more than just carrying your weather. You know, it's like, come on. Like, we all have good days and bad days. It's more than that. It's who are you really? Because there's a part in the scripture where it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if what you're thinking in your heart affects others, if what you're thinking in your heart is who you are, and if what's flowing from you is being spoken, words carry power. Words and actions carry power. Relationships are important because who you are, who your internal reality is, will become your external reality. So the tension that you live with inside will become the tension that others around you start to live with. The freedom that you live with inside will become the freedom that those around you want more of. So who we are affects those around us. So where is the joy? How do we experience that joy so that we can then give it to others? Another one that we all know quite well: rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This will help. It will help. Because it's easy to rejoice with people who are rejoicing, isn't it? Especially if you're rejoicing yourself. Especially if you've just had something to rejoice about. And now somebody comes and they have something to rejoice about. Let's have a party, folks. Let's have a party. But what if you're rejoicing and somebody comes and they have something they're mourning about? Gets a little bit tricky there, doesn't it? Compassion and sensitivity says, okay, let's put the rejoicing aside for a moment. Come alongside, arm around, what can I do? That's a little bit tricky, but it's we can do it. We can do it because we're wise, we're compassionate, we're sensitive. We know how to just be real with people. But what about when we're the one mourning and somebody else is coming to us with rejoicing? There, it gets a little bit dodgy, doesn't it? It's a bit more difficult because it takes real maturity to come from a place of mourning and to set that aside and rejoice with somebody who's rejoicing. Because oftentimes what we want to do is just, yeah, 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 that's great for you, yeah, yeah, you know, fake smile, hey, and then as soon as they leave, and it's not always about them, but it's just, oh God, what about mine? What about mine? What have I been praying for? Because sometimes, when we're mourning, you will meet somebody who's rejoicing because they got the answer to prayer that you're mourning because you haven't gotten. And when that comes, when that moment arrives, there's a challenge. But if we're living in that reality, Jesus is here. The Spirit of God is living in me here and here, and I know that I am mourning, I know that I am in need, I know that I have a prayer that's not been answered yet, but I'm still praying. But my brother and my sister, they are rejoicing, they're full of joy. It's community, it is righteousness and peace and love and gentleness and faithfulness and kindness and goodness to embrace them with all that I have. And in that moment, offer that prayer back to God and say, oh, Father, I am mourning, but I am giving everything that I have to rejoice with my brother and my sister. And in that moment, you're giving something to each other and you're giving something to God that you'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to give him again. Because in that moment is all your emotion. And in that moment is all the confusion. And in that moment is all the places where you're saying, I want to live here, but I'm living here. What? God, I give it to you. And that is a beautiful thing. And 20 years from now, You can think about it, and you can say, give God the grace and the praise for it then, but it's just not the same because the emotion has gone. And sometimes in that moment where mourning turns to praise, that's where real joy can be found. Because joy isn't based on my circumstance. Joy isn't based on what I always see and feel around me, but joy is based on the knowledge, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of heaven is in me. And it's from that place that I will stand with my sister and my brother and be in community and extend our joy. Because the day of salvation has come. The day of salvation is here. Salvation in the Old Testament, they used a word called shalom. Shalom, and you know that word, you've heard that word. Shalom covers so much. It's a heavenly peace. It's a heavenly righteousness. It's a heavenly joy. And that shalom, that salvation, is available now. So for those who are experiencing brokenness in your inner being, in your heart, in your mind, for those who are experiencing and going through brokenness, the salvation of God is here to bring wholeness. And for those who are struggling with disease and sickness, the salvation of God is here to bring healing. And for those who are living in fear and disquiet and tension and turmoil, the salvation of God is here to bring peace. Where there's poverty, salvation brings blessing. Where there's been a curse, salvation brings the restoration, the freedom, the newness of life again. And that's what we want to pray for this morning. So I'll just ask you to pray with me. And in a minute, you'll have a chance to respond, and we'll have the ministry team come and stand with you to pray with you and for you. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit and Father, Triune God who lives in complete harmony and unity and joy and peace. We thank you. We thank you for the joy that you've set before us. We thank you for the peace that you've brought to us. Father, we confess our shallowness of thinking, our lack of understanding, just our ignorance, God. We just want more of who you are. We want more joy. We want more peace. We want to experience the real salvation of your kingdom. And we ask this morning, God, that in the places where we need your kingdom, we say now with confidence, with faith, and with a prophetic pronouncement that your kingdom come, your will be done here now on this earth as it is in heaven. The day of salvation would be known and be real now. The time of rejoicing would be known and would be real now. The time of peace and prosperity would be known and be real now. That health and wholeness would be known and be real now. So for many of you here this morning, just to take a minute or two in your chair alone with God is perfectly adequate and good and acceptable for where you are, and that's great. But for others of you, you want to take a bit more time. You want to come to the front, and we'll have a ministry team who will be here ready to stand with you and pray for you. And for those of you who would like to do that, we just want to invite you to come to the front now. There's no pressure, no expectation, but for anyone who would like, those of us will be up here to pray. Some of you are specifically thinking about, there's a place in the Psalms where it says, where David wrote one of the Psalms, and he says, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And some of you might have been thinking that as we were here this morning. And in particular, if that's something that you have been thinking, or that's been just coming back and forward and through your heart or in your mind, we want you to come and we want to pray for you specifically for that. Just that idea of restore to me, God, the joy of my salvation. But as we're here and as we pray for those who've come forward, for the rest of you, this will be the end of our time. There'll be tea and coffee at the back. Feel free to stay for as long as you need to up here, but otherwise you're free to go.